I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. In a moment, we ask you to tell us more about your travels, your money questions, and your summer reading. But first, with the start of summer, many Americans are preparing for road trips to visit family, the beach, or their favorite amusement park. And that means setting aside money for food, tolls, and of course, gasoline. And over the past couple of years, it's also meant setting aside time to complain about the high cost of gas. But some argue that actually Americans pay very little compared with people in other gas-importing countries, and others say that the economy hasn't really suffered. So what's the truth? Should we be bragging or complaining about gas prices? To figure that out, we're talking to Csaba Csetta. He is the chief editor of Car and Driver magazine, and he joins us from member station WUOM in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And also with us is Tom Klosa. He's a chief oil analyst and publisher for Oil Price Service, or OPIS. It's a company that monitors fuel prices in North America. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you?
Now, Tom, are we really seeing record high gas prices, even when you adjust for inflation?
We are in parts of the country, and we have to think of it in terms of gasoline prices like temperatures, and there's great variation between state to state. And if you live in the Pacific Northwest, the Rockies, the Great Plains, and the Upper Great Lakes, you're seeing the highest prices ever, even when adjusted for inflation. But when you adjust for inflation, people like to pick and choose the period they adjust to, and most of the time they adjust it to 1981 when prices were at then historic highs. They don't adjust it to, let's say, 1998 when gasoline prices were under a dollar a gallon.
Why are prices so high, and why is there so much regional variation?
Well, there's regional variation because we don't have the highest retail prices in the world, obviously, but we have the highest wholesale prices. The difference on the retail side comes in the form of taxes, and we pay very, very little in tax when compared to most developed countries. But we do pay the highest wholesale prices, and basically the cavalry that bails us out from paying sort of apocalyptic numbers year after year has been the foreign gasoline that comes in.
And so is it fair to assume that the sort of geopolitical situation is affecting gas prices, the instability in the Middle East? Is that the major factor driving prices right now?
One could argue that it's the major factor that's driven oil prices in general over the last 10 years, but certainly this year has not been about geopolitics. It's been about U.S. supply and the ability of U.S. refiners to make enough gasoline out of what has been, up until now, pretty plentiful crude availability worldwide to satisfy U.S. appetites for that.
Speaking of appetites for that, Csaba Csetta, are gas prices changing the kinds of cars Americans want?
If you look at the latest sales figures in the month of May, cars actually outsold trucks. And this hasn't been the case for the most part over the past 10 years. So people are definitely looking at these gas prices and taking them into account, especially since we've kind of had high-ish gas prices ever since Katrina.
Why is the market only just now adjusting?
We've often had spikes in gas prices right around this time of the year because one of the other factors that comes in is there's a switchover from winter gas to summer gas. And but now that the high gas prices seem to have an air of permanence about them, people are starting to make a difference. The other part is that our gas prices are still not that high. You go over to Europe and they're paying double what we are for gas prices. And at that point, of course, their vehicle mix is completely different than ours.
Tom, did you buy that?
You know, the rest of the world really uses diesel probably as their primary fuel, and we don't here in the United States, obviously. And if one were to look out globally in the next few years and say, geez, what's the product that might actually be the most compromised by global refining problems or even a crude oil squeeze, it would probably be diesel fuel. That's the greatest growth globally at this point.
Now, many environmentalists say that high gas prices are actually a good thing because they encourage consumers to reduce their driving. I'd like to ask both of you, is this really true?
I think it's quite true. And in fact, if we really wanted to reduce fuel consumption, high gas prices make a lot more sense than those CAFE regulations, which are supposedly going to encourage the manufacturers to produce higher consumption vehicles, because they are going to be different. To get more fuel efficiency, vehicles have to be smaller than they are today.
You could make them cool. You could give them out at the Academy Awards.
Well, you could give
Everybody
them out, but
one.
As a friend of mine in the industry said, trying to solve the fuel problem with the CAFE laws is like trying to solve the obesity problem by telling the clothing manufacturers that they can only build size mediums and down.
Oh, dear. I don't even want to contemplate that.
I would agree with that, Michelle. And what I would add is there is this notice that it is our entitlement to have cheap fuel and to drive large vehicles and not to use, you know, any discretion in the way we behave. There's something to be said for driving. You know, not necessarily. People don't have to drive the modern equivalent of the Pinto or the Pacer. They can drive something more modest as opposed to these Pope mobiles that people drive around with tinier and tinier cell phones. So it would really be refreshing if we heard someone in the political fray actually encourage that sort of behavior. But for now, it's demonizing oil companies or saying Detroit has slipped and the automakers haven't done their job. We really need to look in the mirror on this one.
Go ahead, Chabot.
Yeah, a couple things to add to that. For most people, they look at a hybrid, and this is a way to reduce the cost of driving. And the problem is that if you look at the most successful hybrid, the Toyota Prius, which is a great car, gets about 45 miles per gallon in the real world. But the fact is you pay $4,000 or $5,000 more for a Prius than for a comparable conventional car, and you probably only save $500 or $600 a year. So if you don't have the environmental consciousness on a pure economic basis, it's not obviously a better purchase.
Chabot, what do you drive?
I actually drive test cars all the time, okay. So I'm quite neutral in this.
Okay, Tom, what do you drive?
I drive an Infiniti G35 that gets about 25 or 26 miles to the gallon.
Tom Kloza is a chief oil analyst and publisher for Oil Price Service, or OPIS. It's a company that monitors fuel prices in North America. We also talked with Chabot Chetta. He is the editor-in-chief of Car and Driver magazine, and he joined us from member station WUOM in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Thanks so much for talking with us.
My pleasure. I enjoyed it.
Take care.